Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 38. And today, as my guest, I have Brian Arrington, who is the founder of V2I, also known as Vets to Industry. In today's discussion, we'll be talking about why you should be a part of V2I, also how you can participate in one of their amazing events. And who is V2I for? Is it for veterans? Is it for active duty military? Is it for military spouses? How about if I told you all of the above? So I hope that you enjoy this interview because we had a lot of fun doing it. And until that time, I hope you take care of each other and I hope you enjoy the interview. Welcome to another episode of Sisters in Service. I am, of course, your host, Kat Corchado. And today we have with us Brian Arrington. He is the president and founder of Vets to Industry and the Vets to Industry Foundation. He is a pretty big deal, guys, just saying. So, Brian, welcome to Sisters in Service. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for being a part of this. I don't know if you guys heard episode 20, where I actually interviewed Bruce Thompson, who is the VP of Vets to Industry. So, you know, I saved the best for last.
Oh, sorry, Bruce.
Don't tell Bruce.
Yeah. Bruce, skip this part. Hit pause.
Not really. Bruce was amazing. It was just in my brain. I was like, oh my God, I can't take it back.
No, can't take it back. No, take back.
So Brian is retired military, Air Force. Yes. So I was looking at your bio, Brian, and I noticed that you said that your career had taken you to over 90 countries.
Yeah. It was awesome.
What was your most memorable? What was the most memorable?
Oh, I have a couple, but the one that meant the most to me was going down to Haiti for the earthquake and bringing home refugees and displaced individuals. And through that, I earned a humanitarian medal, which still to this day is my most prized medal for my service. I was on three humanitarian missions. My other humanitarian was in Utapau, Thailand, when the tsunami hit back in 2004, and affected Sri Lanka and Malaysia, these villagers, these monks who had never even been on a plane before, had never seen a plane before, and were coming barefoot, onto the plane.
Oh my goodness!
I've just been able to see it all, from prisoner escorts all the way to, watching people lose their homes, but fighting through to, at least living. Right. But yeah.
So you've seen a lot throughout your career.
Yeah.
Good and the bad. I've only seen pictures of tsunami. It does not look like something that
it was terrible.
That's hard to recover. You can't stop water, especially an ocean that just decides, it's just, hey, we're going to take over. That water has nowhere to go, and it's bad news. So after your service, how was your transition?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. So I retired from the Air Force 1 July 2019, but my transition really started a year before, and I'll take you back in time to March of 2018. And I found LinkedIn by accident. I went home from work. I was working the swing shift, the 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. And I turned on the news, and there was this commercial said, "Join 550 million of us." I'm like, "What's this?" And it was a commercial for LinkedIn. I'm like, "Is this a job board? Like, what is LinkedIn?" So I said, "Do I need a job board? Like, I'm a year out. Maybe I need one." because I was definitely going to punch the button, in 2 months. And so I was like, well, yeah, let me download this and check out the jobs. And my mindset was job, not career, because I hadn't learned yet. You want a career, not a job.
Not a job.
So I download this app, and I'm searching and searching for the jobs, and I can't find any. And then I type in this little text box, veteran, and the Veterans Mentor Network pops up. And for those of you listening who have never gone to this group before, the Veterans Mentor Network has over 140,000 veterans and civilians in there that help guide, mentor, and coach individuals as they're transitioning out or need guidance or have transitioned out. So in the first 30 seconds of me jumping in, they said, hey, it's great to see a transitioning service member find us. And they said, go ahead and tell people what you want to do when you get out. And at that point, I knew what I didn't want to be. And I had been security forces, Air Force security forces, military police for 20 years or 19 years at that point. And I knew that I didn't want to be a cop, a prison guard, or security guard.
Right.
And back then, the Google MOS translator was like the thing. And Google told me that I could be a cop, a prison guard, and a security guard.
It was not good. I did that too. They're like, oh, here's what you can do. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that.
So you remember? Yeah. So I think that's where it died. They finally got the hint. But I told them I wanted to be a marketing manager because I had my master's in management. And I took one class of marketing for my master's degree, and I loved it. So I was like, yeah, I could be a marketing manager, not realizing there's a whole lot else that you need to know to be a marketing manager, like how to use the tools of a marketer. So going through that, I learned that there is a resource called Centurion Military Alliance, and there was a class on it the next day, and I was told that it's like TAP, but it's a one-day seminar, so it's like 5 days crammed into one, and it's on steroids. I was like, how could that be? So it was being launched, or it was happening at Fort Benning, Georgia. I was stationed at Warner Robins Air Force Base in Georgia. Never been to Fort Benning before. So this individual who was mentoring me that night said he was going to go the next day, and could I go with him? So I go to this Centurion Military Alliance event, and in the first 30 minutes, my life was changed.
Wow.
And I mean, my whole life was changed. I learned that there was over 45,000 veteran service organizations nationwide that provided free resources, support, and services to us and our family members while we're still serving and when we get out. But nobody ever tells us about these. And so I, instead of getting all excited, like, hey, I've got the yellow brick road path, the Wizard of Oz to success, to transitioning success, I got pissed off. And all I could think back to was 2002, when I was a miracle happened, really. I made E5. when that happened, for those of you who don't know, E5 is the first supervisory rank in the military, especially the Air Force. And I had direct reports. And so all I could think back to while I'm sitting in that Centurion Military Alliance chair was all of the airmen I had let get out the military from 2002 to, at that point, 2018, without setting them up for success on the outside due to my own ignorance on all the free resources that were out there. And then I started crying. I'm literally sitting in this chair, a senior non-commissioned officer, sitting right next to the guy who brought me to this class, and I start crying. And all I'm thinking about is how many of those airmen have become part of the 22 who have killed themselves a day since then. or unemployed or underemployed or on substance abuse or homeless or divorced or incarcerated or any combination thereof, because Brian Arrington, Sergeant Arrington, didn't set them up for success, didn't give them hope while they were leaving the military.
Well, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, you know, you mentioned the TAPS program, and why is it, do you think, that there's this disconnect? Why do you think it is that we don't know about these, would you say, 45,000 veteran organizations that can help active duty and veteran? Why do you think we don't know about that? Because I can tell you, when I got out over 21 years ago, there wasn't a yellow brick road. There wasn't even grass. There was no pavement. Okay. It was just a field. Okay. That was it.
And everything was a mirage.
Right? Like, just walk that way. I'm like, yeah. Oh, okay.
I can tell you exactly why. Because nobody that's in the military that sends you to TAP has ever been out of the military. The Department of Defense isn't in the business of setting you up for success on the outside, because they're a warfighting organization. Department of Labor is the only ones that have the mission to set you up for success, and they're limited on time and on the resources that they're able to gather and the curriculum that they put together. And then the veteran service organizations aren't allowed on bases unless you have a rogue TAP coordinator. And for all you TAP coordinators out there that are rogue, thank you. I love you. Get a hold of Vets to Industry. I'm all about you. I'm all about you rogue TAP coordinators out there. But unless they're a rogue TAP coordinator bringing these veteran service organizations into their classrooms for like an hour to teach, you're not going to get it. And it's not standardized. So you could have a great base like Joint Base McGuire or Joint Base Lewis McChord, or go down to Lackland, Mill City, where there's a huge veteran community.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, where you're getting really great treatment and are near like huge companies as well that have veteran hiring programs and have kind of found their way inside of TAP coordinators and things of that nature, you're not going to get it. It's rough. So there's no standardization across the bases. There's no standardization across the actual service. That's why.
Mm-hmm. So they're just filling a hole, basically. You know, it wouldn't cost them anything to bring in on a volunteer basis some veterans that have been through it, and to just kind of field question. You know, we're going to bring this person in. They're going to talk about going to the moon. You're like, hey, what was it like on the moon? Well, I didn't actually fly. I just taught them how to get, you know. You're like, well, yeah. What good are you? It doesn't even make sense to me. So yeah,
I learned in a flight simulator. So here you go.
I know.
Here's your TO.
Here you go. So in spite of the 45,000 other organizations, you decided, what was that turning point when you said, I'm going to do Vets to Industry? When was that moment? Take us back there.
Yeah. So after that day, I went home and I said, there's got to be a single site repository where all these resources were co-located. And I'm researching like heck, and I can't find a single site repository where all the free resources are co-located. And I thought, this is asinine. But I was in no position to do anything about it. Remember, I was a cop. I had no web design skills that even crossed my mind. I was like, I didn't even think that I could make anything or fix this problem. So I didn't do anything. And I waited 8 months. And I'm learning everything I possibly can on LinkedIn. I'm learning from all the greats. I'm learning from Eric Schlachter, Corey Boatwright, Daniel Savage, Herb Thompson, Shante Hall. I'm learning from all these people, Justin Pearson, you know, what it takes to transition. And 8 months goes by. And I did a post, and it went viral. And it was about career transitioning. And I had about 654,000 views on this one post. 1,100 comments. And veteran advocates were finding this career transition post, and they were telling people, have you utilized Still Serving Veterans or Bunker Labs or Hire Heroes Corporate Fellowship Program or Hiring Our Heroes? And people were saying, what's that? I don't know what that is. Can I use that? I've been out for three years. Can I use IVMF? So all these people were saying the same thing. And I thought, you know, these people can't wait for a resource library. They need it now.
They need it now.
Some of these people are getting out this week. You know, they've never had.
They need it yesterday.
They never had an ACP mentor, American Corporate Partners. They have never had an ACP mentor. And these people are going to become part of the 22 that kill themselves a day tomorrow. So that same night that all these comments came in, I did a Boolean search on LinkedIn, and I was looking for a veteran. So past companies were Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, that had web design skills. And I found a few people. I sent them all the same message. Telling them, you know, I want to build the Library of Atlantis for veterans, military spouses, dependent children, but I don't know how to build a website. Will you help me? Or will you get on a 20-minute call with me? And this one woman said, yes, absolutely. I get on a call with her. I tell her this story. And at the end of the 20 minutes, she said, you have me a hello. Not only will I build this for you, but I take on one pro bono case a quarter. And I'm going to make you a permanent pro bono.
Oh, wow.
And she's been with me and with us for 2.5 years. She's my director of tech, of IT and tech support. And it's been amazing. She's maintained it. She's, you know, helped build out the page with new things that we've been able to do. We've had over 160,000 people visit our website and what we've been able to accomplish. We have over 1,000 resources on the website, and that grows every month. We update it with more free resources as we find them, vet them, curate them, and it's great. We have 130 volunteers nationwide as well who help guide, mentor, and coach those who reach out to us for support. And also help us with our networking events, which is another thing that came about during COVID, because I got pissed off again.
Don't make him mad, people.
Don't make me mad. Or do, and something else is going to happen in the world. I mean, you know, I used to say, hold my rippet. You know, somebody says I can't do something. I say, hold my rippet while I do this, make this change in the world, and then give me my rippet back. So
actually, yeah. COVID was kind of, well, not actual COVID, but having to pivot to online was actually a blessing in disguise, because that's how I found Vets to Industry through Bruce. And he was like, oh, we're going to have this, you know, it's going to be 5 hours long and it's going to be the, and I was like, oh man. Okay.
Yeah, we scared everybody
and
with that.
Yes. You know, and I thought, okay. And I thought it was just going to be, you know, the regular thing. I stayed for the whole thing. It was so much fun. It was such a good time. I've been back 5 times. You can't get rid of me now. I keep showing up.
And that's a sentiment from a lot of people.
Well, for those that are listening, kind of explain a little bit what it's like, because it's not the usual Zoom thing. Kind of explain to people who are kind of like, I don't know, that doesn't sound right to me. I'm not sure that's for me. Explain a little bit about what it's like during this time.
So a Vets to Industry networking event or virtual networking circuit event is an experience. It's a family experience whereby you come seeking or you're checking it out because you heard or you saw like 50 posts about it coming up and you're like, what is this? You know, I'll drop in for 5 minutes and then you get hooked on whatever the keynote speaker is talking about. And then you start hearing recruiters talking in 30 seconds about why you should come work for their company. And then once you hear like these 30 or 40 recruiters talking and basically trying to get you to check out them, then you go into these breakout sessions where we take 400 to 500 people and break them down into 8 to 10 person breakout rooms, all randomized with people from all walks of life. Recruiters will be in there. Veteran service organizations will be in there. Transitioning service members that don't get out for a couple of years, military spouses, universities and colleges, business owners, entrepreneurs will all be in the same room, and everybody has to give their elevator pitch, a 30-second elevator pitch, so everyone in the room gets to know each other. And then you all have about 2.5 minutes each to discuss whatever topics is you need to or want to, plus talking to the recruiters about potential opportunities in their organizations and, you know, connect with each other. And it's speed networking, but it's almost like speed dating, but speed networking. And it's just to give you enough to get to know somebody enough to be like, I want to talk to them more. How can I do that? Oh, I can get on a Zoom with them during the week or a call during the week. And you do this 5 to 7 times during the event, and you don't even realize how time is flying. And it's come and go as you please. So you can completely leave the event, go grocery shopping, whatever, go to the park with your kids, and either keep listening if you want, or come back.
Jump right back in.
Yeah. And you'll be right back in the cycle of a breakout room. And get to meet new people and build your network. People have, you know, made hundreds of connections during these events. So it's really wonderful. It's every 3 weeks. So people get so addicted to this that they want it more. Right. And they also, it's kind of like Cheers, for those old enough to know the show Cheers, where everybody knows your name. If you're missing the camaraderie, you're missing the community, you go to these events and it feels like it's a family. And you never met these people before, but you build lasting friendships and even best friends. I got a best friend out of it, and I've never even met him in person, Eric Brew. I never even met my vice president, Bruce Thompson.
Bruce Thompson, right. Well, I think what's interesting is that every time I do one of the V2I events, my LinkedIn connections blow up.
Yeah.
You know, every time. But there are two things that I was super impressed with. There are people there, they're recruiters. So there are people there that they can help you get a job. But the one thing that impressed me the most was that they may not have a job for you, but they may know somebody who does.
Exactly.
They're like, you know what? We don't have anything, but I know someone who you need to speak to. That's big. That's huge. And number two, the breakout rooms where you got to just speak to people. I've never been to a networking event like that, because usually in person, it's like the men go over here and the women go over there. And that's not networking to me at all. But it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of laughing and joking, but there's business being done too. And it's just, you just have to go to one and go, holy crap, this was so totally not what I thought it was, but it's amazing, because that's what I thought too, you know, because after you've been networking for a while, you're like, oh, here we go, another networking event, but it was completely awesome.
Yeah.
And
nothing like it.
Oh, there isn't anything like it. So why should someone become a part of V2I? A member or actually volunteer?
Yeah, so Vets Industry, we have a mantra as how can I help pay it forward? So everything we do is to support the military community, whether you're still serving, because there's free resources for you that you don't even know exists. Like you can get a free PTSD service animal while you're still on active duty for free. Check out our website, vetsindustry.org. to see all of the different benefits and services that are out there for you. For military spouses, there's tons of free resources out there for you as well. Like, you can get a free year of LinkedIn Premium with every PCS that you do with your spouse, with your active duty member. So, I mean, and including the last PCS leaving the military to help you find connections at the next place that you're going to prior to getting there. So there's so much. And then, of course, you have the family that is Vets to Industry. And as soon as you become a volunteer with us, you are just surrounded by help. So whether or not you need it or your network needs it, it's an extension. You will never feel the amount of support ever that you get from a Vets to Industry family, which is why we have 130 volunteers, and that continues to grow almost weekly now.
That's amazing. I can tell you that the free LinkedIn Pro or whatever it is they call it, did not know about that, or the LinkedIn Premium. I only learned about that a few months ago, and I've been out for 21 years. I just found out about it. And I got pissed off too, but you know, I did it and I was like, got mine.
That's one thing. Be prepared to be extremely mad when you go to our website. Just be prepared, because you're going to see things that exist that you have never known about. And you could have used it, or one of your troops could have used it, and you didn't know about it. You couldn't tell them about it. It's just going to blow your mind and going to make you really, really mad. Just be forewarned.
Just FYI. I think one of the things that I found very discouraging is when I finally put my veteran hat back on, and which was right after 9/11. And I was trying to figure out, why was I hiding? And I really wasn't hiding on purpose. I just wasn't around other veterans to speak about it. And, you know, we moved from Boston to Charlotte, North Carolina. And I said, you know what, I'm going to go to these veteran organizations. I'm going to start networking. And I would go to these organizations. And if I told you that of 100 people there, that maybe 4 of them were women. And it was, and I would go, I didn't go just once either. I would go several times, and it was the same scenario every time. 3 or 4 women huddled at a table together. That's, and I said, this isn't networking. So for my women veterans out there, what are you doing in the Vets to Industry to encourage women to be a part of this? Because I love the fact that when I sign on to one of your events, that I see women there, but I would love to see more women there. So what are you guys doing to encourage women to be a part of this?
So we actually have quite a few ways of doing that. One, you know, we have a whole section on women veterans as far as their resources that are available for them on our website. The other thing is we have Women Warrior Wednesday that Marina Rabinick, who is deputy director of our business development in Vets to Industry, who used to be the director of marketing for Vets to Industry. And she runs this Women Warrior Wednesday on Clubhouse, and consistently talks about the nonprofits out there that are supporting women veterans, along with talking about Vets to Industry and the events and how they need to come and meet with others just like them, and you know, help their networks and connect with each other, and then get help themselves. You know, we also, you know, put on events that are geared towards male spouses. But we encourage all to come. 90% of those people out there that are military spouses are women. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those spouses were also veterans themselves, and people don't realize that. So we try to extend it and get the word out to as many as we can. We also have a whole section dedicated to military spouses and families, which Leslie Coffey runs. And she does a clubhouse on Mondays for that. But we have really strong women veterans on Vesta Industry as volunteers who continuously go out and discuss resources and opportunities and try to drive them to the Vesta Industry community so they can see that they're not alone and that there are resources for them.
And I keep showing up, not because I don't have anything else to do, but because I enjoy it. So, you know, if you're listening to this and you're a woman veteran, I'm just telling you, just sign up and just come. You know, you don't have to be looking for a job. You say, you know what? I just want to see what this is about. You won't be disappointed. The other question I had is, you know, you always hear about the transitioning veterans and they're their own population as far as what they need. But is V2I something that would enable a veteran who's been out for a while, but has decided, you know, I really need to change course. I want to do something else. So if you have a veteran who's been out, maybe they got laid off during COVID, maybe they're just not happy with their job because they don't have a career, and they really want to get into something else, is V2I one of those sources that they can come to also, or even one of the events?
Yeah, absolutely. If they want to do a career pivot, we have a ton of mentors that can help them with that. I mean, we have people internal that can give internal referrals to companies as well. We have we can connect them to the right resources that you know, will provide mentorship on what they can do. We have on vestindustry.org, under the knowledge section, something called the Proven Checklist. And if I try to gear everyone who's new to the Vest Industry website, who is looking for transitioning into a career, to do that first. Do the Proven Checklist, which will actually help them to understand the foundation of how to transition. It is all videos and articles. So there's nothing you have to download or that you have to print out or anything like that unless you wanted to. And then after they watch that and read that, then they can be connected to one of our in-house mentors. Mm-hmm. And we use Veterati. And for those that aren't aware of Veterati, it's a phenomenal application where you get the ability to connect for an hour with veterans and civilians that are in the job market, have careers, have been there, done that, and can mentor you on their industry or on certain topics that you have questions on. And you get on an hour call with them. And if you find that you are a great match with them, you can continue finding other time slots with that mentor. And you can be a mentee and a mentor on there. So for those of you listening who might be able to be a great mentor, you could also sign up to be a mentor on there. You know, with that, you could also find, you could have as many mentors as you want. So you could be on 7 mentor calls a day with 7 different mentors if you wanted to.
So you could have one for entrepreneurship, one for, you know, all kinds of different things. I think that's pretty cool. One person can't be everything, that be all and end all. So I think it's kind of cool that you can kind of branch out like that. One last question, Brian. What do you think is the biggest obstacle facing transitioning veterans today?
The biggest obstacle has to be imposter syndrome. That's the fear of not being able to conform or find that you aren't worthy or worth any value, that you can't articulate your value proposition. There's also imposter syndrome where, you know, you've done everything, you've gotten your resume all perfect with, you know, lined up with a job description, and you put stuff on there that you've done in the military. It's not military worded, but then you get hired or you get a job offer and you're like, oh crap.
I know, now what?
What if they actually asked me to do this stuff that I said I could do? Like, do I really know how to do this?
Right. Because we all know our job descriptions, we didn't do everything our job description said.
Understand. I didn't understand the job description that I applied for.
100%. Even though you tested on it, you were tested on it. There was stuff I never did.
I didn't know what a consultant was 6 months before I got out of the military. And then I got a role. I got offer letters from Accenture and from Wells Fargo for that a consulting role. And I was like, oh, crap.
What do I do now?
I was able to turn 20 years of being a cop in the Air Force into a consultant resume. And now what happens if they actually ask me to consult?
Right.
Oh, crap.
I know. Oops. Yeah. I think we need to talk.
I've been in for 2 years and I haven't gotten fired. So I obviously am able to do something. Or they haven't found me out yet.
What do you say, fake it till you make it?
Yeah.
Brian, what is up for V2I in the next year? It would be so cool to have like a V2I summit, you know, or a...
I'm planning it.
Yes, that would be very cool.
I'm going to be a realist, though. It depends on people's willingness and desire to donate to us and companies that will be willing to sponsor us for our networking events. And for, you know, the summit itself,
right?
You know, we have 50,000 followers on LinkedIn alone. You know, we're very popular. We have a great brand name, and we can draw people. And we just would need, you know, a sponsor to say, I love veterans.
Right.
I love military spouses. I want to attach myself to a brand that stands for integrity, that takes care of helping everyone in the military community. And I want our company to be thought of that way with this brand.
Absolutely.
And come with us and be a star sponsor at our summit. And I'm hoping that comes in 2022.
So for all you organizations that have been wanting to help with veterans, here's your chance. Putting it out there.
And we are a 501c3, so it's tax deductible.
There you go. Yeah. So just start counting the money coming in, Brian. Okay.
Yeah. We'll see.
So, Brian, where can people find V2I, and or if they need to contact you, where can they contact you?
Yeah, so we're actually on all of the platforms pretty much, except for TikTok and Reddit, which I'm looking at getting us onto soon.
Okay, I just say that you and Bruce need to do something on TikTok together?
Oh, man.
I would pay money to see that.
An Air Force guy and a Marine. What kind of shenanigans can we come up with on TikTok video?
You guys would blow TikTok up, man. They were like, our servers are down. We can't handle it.
Oh, that would be funny. We are on LinkedIn. We have a LinkedIn group. Actually, we have two LinkedIn groups on LinkedIn. You can find us on Vets to Industry. Just you're tagging that. And Vets to Industry job board. We also have the company page at Vets to Industry that you can follow. We are on Facebook. We have a Vets to Industry group. And, of course, the company page at Vets to Industry. We're on Twitter. And we're also on Instagram. And then we just migrated over to Clubhouse.
Yes, they did.
So follow us on the Vets to Industry Club on Clubhouse if you want to get more content. And we also do fireside chats on StreamYard, streaming it through LinkedIn, YouTube, and Facebook once a month. So check those out.
Yeah, I'll have to hang out at the fireside. I haven't had a chance to do that. But for anyone looking to Vets to Industry, if you just Google Vets to Industry, the number two industry, it'll all pop up. I've tried it. It just comes up. So.
Yeah.
You will not have a problem. Well, Brian, it's been such a pleasure having you on Sisters in Service. I'm so glad that you came on and giving us more information about Vets to Industry, you know, why you started it, why women should be a part of it, why veterans in general, especially transitioning people, should be a part of it. So we'll get this out to people and really let them know. So thank you so much for listening. And as always, please stay safe, take care of each other, and until next time.